comic Rodney Dangerfield has been doing his stand-up routines for years. He also has a club in New York where he showcases young comics. And in the past decade, he's taken on roles in movies like Back to School and Caddyshack, which have won him a new audience of young people. Dangerfield recently did a one-man show on Broadway, and our critic-at-large Laurie Stone was there.
I'd never seen him live, and the short bits he does on talk shows don't adequately explain why so many hip young comedians credit his influence. I understand now. Dangerfield is a bridge between the Borscht Belt and confessional humor. He shares a machine gun delivery and dancer's timing with Henny Youngman, but Youngman's manner is sunny and masked. You don't have a clue what drives him to tell jokes. Dangerfield's material grows from inside. Sadness rises from him, surrounds him. He's sad because he's clumsy and fat. He feels isolated and inept. No joke. And because the sadness is real, because the tie-touching and squirming come from his gut, the comedy he spins from it is rich and conscious. His head is a filing cabinet stuffed with jokes about failure and humiliation, about Rodney's childhood. I was an ugly kid. My father never took me to the zoo. He said, if they want you, they'll come get you. His dentist cleans his teeth, and they're still yellow. The dentist says, wear a brown tie. Rodney gets a dog, hoping it'll help him meet girls. It turns out the dog is using me to meet other dogs. The audience, who are mostly under 30, love Dangerfield's vulgarity, and it is often winning. For the most part, he uses his outsider identity to make social points. His schlub persona, refreshingly, isn't based on being Jewish, he is, but on being low class. The stage name Rodney Dangerfield is a WASP tease, and the inclusion of the word danger tweaks his victim role. But he's not just a loser. He doesn't get respect, but neither does he fawn to fanciness. He looks around the spiffy theater. Mark Hellinger, big deal. What do you say we bust up this place? He hates moralists and won't say no to drugs. He joined AA but still drinks. I use another name. And ineffectual though he is at getting dates, he's still dying to screw. He makes fun of snobs without trashing knowledge, and while there's nothing unusual about his view of life, there is something special about the degree of his candor and vulnerability. He never stoops to sentimentality or kitschy commentary on his role. His tough-mindedness lifts him from sap status and compels us to laugh at the schlub in us. I laugh steadily for 20 minutes, even at wife jokes. Mostly Dangerfield makes fun of his ineptness with women, ceding them appetite and savoir-faire. My kids are good-looking. Thank God my wife cheats on me. After 20 minutes, though, I laughed only intermittently. The material gathers no vision or thematic shape. Even more problematic, an angry flip side of Dangerfield's vulgarity surfaces, and this, alas, has been passed on to younger comics, too, Sam Kinison and Bob Nelson among them. Dangerfield has spent too much time feeling women's power over him not to feel rage at them also, and when he caves into anxiety, his femme fatale becomes a slut. He also makes fun of gays. At the low point of opening night, he offered a beautiful woman his necktie for a kiss. She expected a benign peck. Instead, he grabbed her, planted his mouth on hers, twisted her back to the audience, and roughly squeezed her ass. The audience's response was shock more than amusement. When the comedian came back for an encore, he stared out and quietly said, "Now I'm going to tell you how blank and unhappy I am." He wasn't kidding. Dangerfield is an original, far more vivid on stage than in the movies. Catch him when he tours, but don't let him get away with cheap shots.
Laurie Stone is a New York-based writer and critic, and is a contributor to The Village Voice.